Amen. You may be seated today. Thank you so much for being here. And like Scott said, thank you so much for being a part of the online campus. I saw people watching in Great Britain, Aruba, in Germany, Africa, in Singapore. Come on, welcome them one more time. It's an honor to have you. Saw someone watching in L.A. and New York City. Come on now. So it's great to be here with you today, and the fast is over. Praise God, the fast is over. But you have to wait a day for Jesus chicken. It'll be open tomorrow. You can get all that then. But we're in the fourth week, last week of our series, the first series of the year, entitled Emmanuel. And the idea of this series is talking about, we wanted to start the year off really highlighting the power of the Holy Spirit, because God is with us still. He's with us through and by the Holy Spirit. And so I hope this, you know, series has helped you, encouraged you, maybe challenged you. Today I want to just, you know, encourage your faith and probe your thoughts as I preach a message entitled Weird versus Wonder when it comes to the Holy Spirit. You know, at City Church we have literally it seems like every denominational background, and maybe people that have no church background, and that's fine either way. But when it comes to the topic of the Holy Spirit, because of different church styles and teachings and all this, we have different ideas about the Holy Spirit. Some maybe say he's weird. Some don't understand it. Some are fully embracing what he does, etc. And so we just want to help you take your next step in your faith. I want to be clear. I want to repeat myself here just for a minute. I've said it this month that our belief is at City, the Holy Spirit is not an energy. He's not a force. He's not even a power. He's God. He's a part of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit's a person who is in the earth, and he lives in us. And I'm going to share on that today. And so we want to demystify this in some ways and help us all move forward in our faith one step at a time. Are you ready for this today? Weird versus wonder. Now, please help me preach today. On Wednesday, I had two of my wisdom teeth pulled. And Summer did not want to preach today, so I'm preaching, and I get to preach today. Amen? No, I felt good. I feel good. Just help me to preach today. So if you hear something you like, please just give me a little feedback to encourage me on as I manage my mouth. Amen. So, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for this great worship experience. I thank you for what you're doing in this place. I thank your kingdom come and your will be done. I thank you, Jesus, for all of us being safe in here, and as we leave this week, your angels go with us. I thank you that all of us have a chance to lay down willingly any resistance we may have and set aside any distractions right now. And I pray that all of us in this room and online would have a moment, have a touch of your Holy Spirit if we already haven't, before we leave today and we get closer to you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If not, you can follow me on the screen. Now today, I want to read our verses from the Message version. Now personally, I have no problem with studying from multiple versions of the Bible. And so we preach from multiple versions of the Bible. I'm not hung up on that. And so I love the Message version, especially in different moments and different sets of verses. And this is one of them. So if you want to take notes today, you can flip over your worship guide and follow along and just write down stuff that sticks out. Here's what Paul said. Do not become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not partnership, that's war. Is light best friends with dark? Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Do trust and mistrust hold hands? Who would think of setting up pagan idols in God's holy temple? But that is exactly what we are. Each of us are a temple in whom, notice this, God lives. God himself put it this way. I want to preach on these main thoughts. Notice first God says, I'll live in them. And then notice a distinction. Then he says, I will move into them. So there's something different about that. I'll be their God, they'll be my people, so leave the corruption and compromise. Leave it for good, says God. Don't link up with those who pollute you. Notice this phrase, I want you all for myself. I'll be a father to you. You will be sons and daughters to me, the word of the Master God. Now, how many know that all of us have lived long enough, I'm sure, that you have met someone that's weird in your life? How many have ever met someone that's weird? How many married someone that's weird? some brave soul right there. God bless you. Good luck going home today. And so we know that weird is defined in a lot of ways. All of us have our own definition of weird. And I'm sure we've been in weird moments, weird situations, you know, around someone weird. But really, what's fascinating about this is that the word weird in the dictionary, the definition for it, if you want to write this down, it literally means suggesting something supernatural or uncanny. Which means that weird, according to the dictionary, if we connect that to God in the sense of being supernatural, it's beyond our intellect. It's beyond what's normal, and it's beyond what we understand. Now, for most of us in this room and online, we live the circumference of weird. The definition of weird to us really is summed up by something that we don't understand. If we don't understand something, typically you and I categorize that as weird. So for example, somebody maybe in the older generation can't understand why someone would buy a pair of jeans for $40 with 5 holes in them. For some people, that's weird. But for other people, it's the normal. Why not do that? That's the style. We can categorize food. I don't understand why someone would eat sushi. Sushi's weird. I don't understand why someone would eat meat, you know, possibly. That's weird. Why would someone eat this? That's weird. We would maybe think of cultural celebrations, or the way maybe different ethnicities would celebrate, and nationalities would celebrate holidays, or how they celebrate a wedding, or whatever that is. And so we would look at that and say, that's not something I would do. That's weird. Most of us live in that circumference of weird. We look at someone, we look at a celebration or a cultural thing, a food thing, you know, whatever it is, and we say, you know what, I don't understand that. That's just weird. But I want to encourage us to really push through that when it comes to God. Because if you notice that God is beyond our understanding and beyond our control. If you and I only live life based on if I don't understand something, if I don't understand a person, if I don't get why they do what they do, then they're automatically weird to me, then we're going to limit ourselves, let alone we're going to limit God. Because have you noticed that God is beyond our understanding and God is beyond our control? So in some ways, according to this definition, we could say that God is weird because it's suggesting something supernatural, and God is supernatural. For example, this makes me sound smart, but just stay with me. I'm not trying to talk over you. But here are some theological words. For example, God is omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. God is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere at the same time. God is omnipotent, meaning he's all-powerful. So the nature of God in and of himself can be weird based on the definition in our dictionary because he's beyond what we can grasp. So I would hope, and I challenge you in life to embrace different things, to embrace different moments, because if you would only categorize life by what you understand and what you know, then you're going to limit yourself with other people, cultures, and celebrations and food and whatnot. But more importantly, you're going to limit yourself with God. For example, when I was in Africa, I remember the first time they invited me to a wedding. I was the only white guy within 70 miles. I felt at home. And I learned something new. So, I mean, our culture, the bride usually and the groom decide the invite list based on budget. And some people aren't invited and some people are invited. How many have? Okay. And so when I was in Africa, I realized that they don't have a guest list. It's expected of the bride and the groom to invite everybody in their village or town. It's just, they're coming. You don't get to say they're not coming. They're coming. And I showed up with my friend, Eddie, and there's over 1,000 people at this wedding. And then, because I was the only white guy there, they took me into the, and people were just standing around the church, in the church, and so they took me on the platform and had me sit to, and the guy preached 3 hours. How many would love to be a part of a wedding? We're like 20 minutes. We got to go. We got to go get something to eat. And he ain't got to the vows yet. I said, man, I just got off the plane. Let's go back to the hotel. So notice how I could look at that and say, that's weird. I don't understand that. But no, I could embrace it and experience something new, make new friends, and have a memory in my life. The Holy Spirit, please hear me, the Holy Spirit is not to be a hurdle of weird for you and I, but rather the Holy Spirit is an open door into the wonder of God with us and in us. Now, you heard me read in these verses. I could preach on this in a lot of different ways, but I'm not going to go into the relationship part of it. I want to focus on the three statements toward the end. But you heard me read. He says, you know, don't be partners with those who reject God. Light and darkness make war. Trust and mistrust don't go together. Leave corruption and compromise. Don't link up with those who pollute you. How do we overcome the hurdle of weird when it comes to the Holy Spirit and really embrace the wonder of God and realize that God, I can understand the Bible. We want to help you, so go to a group. We can help you understand the Bible. We can help you get grounded in your faith or maybe grow in your faith, progress. But we have to embrace the fact there's parts of God that are beyond our intellect, and you and I will never figure him out. He's infinite. We're finite. But if you and I will embrace that, then we can experience the wonder of God. And instead of the Holy Spirit being a hurdle of weird, it can actually be the open door of exposing the wonder of God in me. So how do we do that? I believe the scripture reveals in this passage a progression that all of us are on. No one in this room and online has graduated from this progression. All of us, me included, are in one of these three phases. I'll call them a phase of our walk with God. I want to encourage you to move forward as I break them down. The first one is in verse 16. And God said, notice what Paul said. He said, God himself put it this way in the version. He says, I will live, or I'll live in them. Everyone say, God lives in me. That means this. Here's what we believe at City Church. When anyone receives Jesus, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And different churches teach different things. At City Church, we believe that salvation comes when you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You ask him to forgive you of your sins. You believe that he's been raised from the dead. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, you shall be saved when you do that. And then verse 13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't it easy and awesome? But when someone does that, that doesn't mean they're a mature Christian. That doesn't mean they're all fixed. It doesn't mean they've arrived. It means they've taken their first step in their faith. When someone does that, the Bible teaches us, that the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. And John, the Apostle John, calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. So if you and I receive Jesus, the reason why we're convicted when we do something wrong, we're convicted if we do something, it's like, that doesn't feel right. We're convicted to do right. We're convicted to read the Bible. We're convicted to go to church. We're convicted to take a step forward. The reason why we have any notion like that is because the Holy Spirit is in us. If you don't have any conviction in you, If you have no conviction, in other words, you can do whatever you want to do and you don't feel, you know, kind of a check, like you need to, to change that. If you have no sense of boundaries from the Bible, I would say you need to receive Jesus. Because when you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in you, and then the Holy Spirit is that Spirit of Truth that gives us the prodding of wanting to move forward and let God be God in our life. So if you and I have conviction, if we do something wrong and we're convicted, that's a good feeling. Say, thank you, Jesus. I receive more of that. Convict me more. If you and I are convicted to go to church or get more involved, that's a good thing. Get involved and move forward. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God that's drawing us. He's wooing us. And when you and I receive Jesus, we have the promise that he will live in us. So take your first step. If you haven't received Jesus today, then receive him. If you have, keep moving forward. But if you have, just know that the Holy Spirit lives in you and that he's with you wherever you go. I put it this way. You and I can have a living connection to heaven, and we can have a living connection to the Holy Spirit. Another way of saying it, the book of Hebrews says, you and I can taste, I love it, we can taste of the powers of heaven as we live in this earth. What does that mean? We can taste heaven because the Holy Spirit is in us. We can experience God in a real, intimate, personal way. That's what we believe from Scripture. So I want to encourage you on a practical level, if you've received Jesus, the Spirit of God's in you, He's moving in you at whatever level, whatever pace it is. On a very practical level, I want to encourage you, and this is a great room filled with people, you watching online, we're humbled that you're here. I'm not trying to preach at you. I'm always talking. I'm talking with you. But I want to fortify you in this. A practical step is this, that the Holy Spirit will lead you to be a part of a local church. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to be isolated. The Holy Spirit will lead you to be a part of a local church. And so for City Church, I want to encourage you, I want to nudge you in your time, in your pace, go to next steps. Learn about us. We want to learn about you. We want to help you find your place here. We want to be a partner with you in your faith, help you move forward, and to see what God can do in your life. Here's another practical step. As the Holy Spirit, you know, is living in you, get water baptized if you haven't. If you have, but you didn't know what it means, do it again. There's rebaptism. I want to encourage you to get water baptized. Move forward in your faith. Take practical steps to feed the Holy Spirit. Take practical steps to ignite the Holy Spirit. Take practical steps to let what's living in you, grow in you, and be what God's called you to be. But if you don't feed the Holy Spirit, then He won't grow in you. You got to let Him grow in you, and you got to move forward in your faith and let God take root in your life. Amen. Another thing I want to encourage you with is that He's living in you. So this, and I've already said it this month, maybe when I preached on Out of the Cage, if you've never raised your hands in church, raise your hands. If you've never clapped your hands in church, clap your hands. If you've never sang loud enough for yourself to be heard, you need to sing that loud now. Do something small to let the Holy Spirit be stronger in you. Because in this progression of weird versus wonder, I'm not being blocked by the weirdness, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. I want to embrace the wonder of the Holy Spirit. And the first step in the progression is that the Holy Spirit lives in me. And I can move forward in my faith. But notice the Apostle Paul. This is not the same thing because he makes a distinction. He says that I will live in them. God says that. And then God says, I will move into them. Everyone say, He'll move in. Now, I believe what that means is to go off words. I believe this. It speaks of a deeper taking control of God in our lives. It's like this. It's like there's a hurdle of the Holy Spirit. This is weird. I don't understand it, but I let that down. I want more of God. I don't want to resist God. I want all of God. So I receive Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit lives in me. But I just don't stop there. I get involved in a local church. I'm moving forward in my faith, and now I take another step here in this scripture, and I let God move into me. You know that the Apostle Paul says in this passage that you and I, our bodies, our physical bodies, are the temple of God. So what is the church? Is the church this, I mean, this building? Is it this room? Is it the steel structure? Is it the lights? Is it the chairs? Is it the carpet? Is it the screen? You know, what is the church? And it's a facility that facilitates the presence of God. But the only reason why this is a church is because there's a room filled with people who want to honor Jesus. And all of us are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the church of Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit lives in us. So I just want to say this real quick. And this is why I believe one reason all of us are tempted, maybe at some level, maybe not all of us, but I think many of us are tempted to have self-shame when it comes to our physical bodies. I never figured when I started losing my hair, I was so insecure. I was so worked up about it. And maybe to you, it's not a big deal, but how many know when something's personal to us, it is a big deal? And so, I mean, if we're honest, as men and women, many of us, we are shaming our bodies. You know, we're not tall enough, we're not skinny enough, we're too big, we don't have enough hair, we don't have the right size, we don't have the right hair texture, we don't have the right skin tone, we don't have this, we don't have good hair, we have bad hair. All the images and all the things that are projected on us is putting our bodies down. And if we're honest, even as guys, well, I'm not big enough, or I am big, so now I'm a man, and this guy's small, so he's not a man, and we have all these weird things. But wait a minute, we are all the temple of the Holy Spirit. So think about this. God looks at my body and your body, and He's not disgusted by it. He actually loves our body, and He loves it so much, He'll come and live in our body and make our body His house on the earth. So don't let anyone shame you because you're dark or because you're light or because of your hair texture or because of your weight or because of your style. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are made in the image and the likeness of God. Don't let the enemy rob you of joy in the fact of how God made you. Because you and I are the temple and God lives in you and me. I almost think of this too, even just the language here. Let God move in. I will move into them. It's almost like this picture. I want to give you a picture here as I speak this. It's almost like you and I letting God come to our house and move in. And our house is a mess. We got dirty clothes in the living room, dishes in the sink. Our house doesn't probably smell right. We got stuff all over the place. Maybe we even have an addiction or a struggle on the coffee table. Look out now. And we have stuff going on. And then all of a sudden, God shows up. And instead of us, oh, God, clean up the house. Oh, come on, God, hurry up, clean up the house. Oh, my God, we got to look good for God. We got to look good for him. Come on, put it under the couch. Come on, shove it all under the couch. No, it's like, God, you come in my house. You see my junk. You see my dirty laundry. You see my addiction struggle. You can look at all the junk in my house. I'll let you move in. I'll let you take more control. As a matter of fact, sit down on the couch with me. Let's have a conversation as I look at all the mess in my house because God loves my house. And he wants all of my house. So in the progression of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I never forget one time my father was ministering to an individual. And this is no slight on her. I think many Christians and non-Christians feel this way. She was just brave enough to say it. And he was ministering to her, loving on her, trying to help her. And he said, why don't you come to City? She didn't come to our church. And not everyone has to come here. I know that. It's not the point. It's the courage of what she said. She said, I'm not coming to City Church. I don't want the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to encourage you on something. That's a hurdle of weird. And we're stuck based on tradition, based on teaching, based on experience, based on maybe personal struggle. And that's not the wonder of God. That's being stuck in a weird place. The progression of God is that I receive Jesus and the Holy Spirit lives in me, and now I begin a journey with God on the earth. And then I go, and I'm a part of a local church, and I get involved, and I take steps and overcome my trepidation, overcome my fear. Then I take another step. Then I let God move in, meaning I let God have more control. Now, notice the definition of weird is something supernatural, meaning beyond our intellect, beyond our understanding, beyond our control. Many of us define weird because we don't understand it and we can't control it. But folks, if you want to control God, you will forever limit him. You and I got to let this go. We can't sit here and say, I got to control God. Who are you? Jeremiah said, who are you to say the lump of the clay, say to the potter, make me this way. The potter can do whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it. He's looking for someone to say, you know what? I'm going to cross the hurdle of weird and I want God to live in me, but then I'm going to take another step and I want God to move in me. I want to yield my control. Power and control issues. I want to yield power and control over to God so God can have control. Because if God's in control of my life, I'm at peace. I'm a son and a daughter. I can have victory in my life. But please hear me. If you and I yield control of our life to an abusive person in a relationship, platonic or sexually, if we yield control to an abusive system, teaching, culture, for example, hating different races, okay? You want to put yourself in that. You are now a slave. You are a slave to that person. You're a slave to that ideology or that ideology. You're a slave to what they're teaching you, and you are not free. You are truly bound. But when you and I say, you know what? I want God to move in me, sit on my couch, come in and look at the mess, come in my house, move in, and I let God have my life. I let God move in. I let God see all the dirt. I'm not playing any more games. I'm not playing religion. God, I smoke weed. Help me. God, I'm looking at porn. Help me. I'm not loving my wife right. Help me. I'm distant from my son and daughter. Please forgive me and help me. God, I don't like white people. Lord, help me. I hate President Trump. Lord, help me. I got 5 divorces. Lord, help me. We're not hiding it anymore. I give it on the coffee table. Move in and come and take me. Take control. Because when the Holy Spirit When he takes control, I'm no longer a slave. I'm now a child of the king. And where the king lives, there is perfect peace. There's perfect order. There's perfect power. Now watch my mouth. Hallelujah. That's where God is. So while we're struggling with power and control, he's trying to set us free. So please don't hide behind the hurdle of weird. See, at City Church, the greatest miracle for us isn't the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in praying in tongues. We believe in healing, all that. I'm not ashamed of that. We'll teach you about it. Go to groups. And there's a group about the Holy Spirit. We have balance here. But that's not the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is salvation. So our emphasis at City in balance is that people get saved. Then after we get saved, we take our next steps and move forward in maturity in our faith at the pace that we're on. So there's balance, but my experience with the Holy Spirit isn't to prove that I'm better than you. It isn't to prove that I'm more spiritual than you. It isn't to prove that I have all nine gifts and I can do this and do that. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit, yes, is to empower me in the gifts, but the Holy Spirit is first to live in me. Then I want him to move in me. I want to yield control of my life so that he has control of my life one step at a time, one day at a time, one moment at a time. And then he goes, and I want to encourage you with this, as I don't want to belabor it, you know, a practical step with having him move into you is you know, be on the dream team, make a difference. Again, go in the group, as you heard Sophie, I get the QR code. I'm saying this over and over again because everything we do here is a modern way of fulfilling the biblical plan. Healthy churches are not trying to get something from you. Healthy churches are trying to help God come through you. There's a reason why God asked us to give our money, tithes and offerings. Summer and I give our tithes and offerings. We gave it today. There's a reason why he's asked us to give our money. There's a reason why he asked us to be here. There's a reason why he wants us to be involved. There's a reason why we have community. There's a reason why we have accountability. Because all of that helps the wonder of God become more and more real in our lives. Finally, I'm almost done. We go from I'll live in you, he will live in us. Then we let in the progression, right? And all of us are in this at some place. Then we let God move into us using just that simple vernacular. He's moving in the house. He's sitting on the couch with you in here somewhere, looking at all the stuff no one else sees. You know, today, we don't ever go to someone's house unannounced. If someone did that, they'd be cussed out. When I was a kid, I remember people coming over to our house, just didn't call, didn't tell you, just came over. I was just in the neighborhood. How you doing today? People would be like, get out of my house, Joker. We're so isolated today. I kind of miss those days a little bit because you can go over to some old church lady's house. They would have pie ready to go for you. Remember, I went over to a lady's house one time just to go see her, just to pray with her. She's now in heaven. It's like she was an angel. She had cookies made for me on the counter. She didn't even know I was coming. I talked to her, hey, Luzetta. Oh, Pastor Dave, I made cookies. Thank you, Jesus. How did you know that? Nowadays, you come on the door, hey, Luzetta, what the bleep bleep are you doing in my house? Get out of here. I'm trying to watch my Netflix. Some of you did that this week. That's okay. God will save you. I'm just kidding. Back to the message. Let God live in you. Progression of the Holy Spirit. Let God move in you. And then, notice this phrase he says here in these verses, he wants all of us. This is why this progression, in closing, this progression is never over. As long as we live in this life, you're either letting him live in you, he's beginning to move in you, or he's taking more of you to have all of you. All of us. And this word scares us because of our hurt, but he takes complete control. We think of that as dictating, and he's a dictator, and he's going to ruin my life. No, no, no. The plans of God are good, not of evil, to give you hope and an expected end. This means that God wants all of our baggage. What's our baggage? That's our tendencies. I spoke on that 2 weeks ago in the message, Out of the Cage. Tendencies, though, again, can be our anger, our lust, our envy, our jealousy, our manipulation, our lying. It could be our private behavior, our public behavior, rage, outburst of rage, malice, physically hurting people, beating our spouse. Could be a lot of things. But God wants our tendencies. Now, he doesn't want our tendencies just to look at them. He'll take our tendencies and he'll heal us. He'll take them out of our life. But notice the wonder of God is the progression of the Holy Spirit in somebody like you and me is that we move forward and we let God live in us by receiving Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes. Now I get involved in church. I'm feeding my faith. I'm growing. The Holy Spirit's growing. But then he moves in me. He starts looking at all the mess in my house. And I'm willing to be an open house guest. I'm willing to have him as not my house guest, but as a permanent roommate. Come in and live with me. And then after he begins to touch my stuff and he begins to heal the coffee table, all the dirt and all the stuff that's there, and he cleans up my laundry, so to speak, you get it. Then now he begins to have all of me one step at a time. And all that baggage that I'm loading on to me, man, all that weight, he begins to take it away. I also think not only of baggage, but I think of burdens. He wants all of our baggage and all of our burdens. And what are burdens? Burdens would be our fears, anxiety, depression, our eating disorders, suicidal thoughts, self-hate, struggles of forgiving other people, struggles of loving other ethnicities, struggles of loving rich people, poor people, Democrat, Republican, struggles of overcoming ourselves, struggles of letting go of the private lust and illicit acts, letting God have it all. Because the Apostle Paul said, in my weakness, the power of God rests on me. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. You see, in this progression of the Holy Spirit, too many of us are hiding behind the hurdle of, that's weird, that's weird, that's weird, that's weird. Come on, stop saying it's weird. Kick the hurdle down and say, Holy Spirit, through Jesus, you're living in me. I give you my life. Then move in me. Take more control. Take resident in me. Come on, let me see women different. Let me see men different. Let me see myself different. Begin to clean up my life. And then, take over everything. I don't want to hold nothing back. Why would I ever say, I don't want God, I don't want the Holy Spirit? If it's from heaven, it's good. If it's from God, it's divine. If it's from heaven, it's for my good, it's for my purpose, and it's for my plan. And some of us today are struggling to let God in. We're struggling because we have so much shame, because we're still addicted, because we're still acting out, because we're still got bad attitudes, and we know it, and we're still jealous of our neighbor, and we're still fighting with ourselves, and we're not forgiving our spouse, and we're still mad at different ethnicities, and we're going off on politics, and we're getting our tantrums all out of whack, over nothing, and we know it, and we feel shamed. But that's where the Holy Spirit wants. That's the areas he wants. He wants us. And so we give it to him one at a time. We give him our struggles, our doubt, our unbelief. Oh, God, help me in my doubt. Help me in my unbelief. I don't want to leave you. I don't want to run from you. I want to stay in your presence. Holy Spirit, I will not stay in the weird place. I will cross over and go into the wonderful place. I will go into the wonder of God. Live in me. Move in me. Have all of me. And before I go, the practicality of living in you is getting involved in a local church, getting water baptized for us, next steps, letting God move in you, be a part of a group, get a community around you, move forward, do something you've never done physically before. Let God, come on, let God out, let God in. And then let him have all of you. So here's a practical step. Say, Holy Spirit, have your way in me. Holy Spirit, do whatever you want to do. Holy Spirit, I give you my anger. Holy Spirit, I give you my lust. Holy Spirit, I give you my greed. Holy Spirit, I give you my gambling. Holy Spirit, I give you my my depression, my suicidal thoughts. I lay them down.
You say it out loud. That's how we do it, folks. You say it out loud. If it's by yourself, that's fine. But you just say it out loud and say, I need help. And then you take another step. And you get a right person, a strong person by your side to be your accountability partner. And you move forward in your faith. And you let someone help come alongside you. And you move forward and you let the Holy Spirit day by day, minute by minute, moment by moment, ups and downs live in you. Then he moves in you. Then he has all of you. And you're on this progression the rest of your life. But he'll be with you in the valley of the shadow of death. He'll be with you on the mountaintop. He'll be with you when you're married. And if you get divorced, he'll be with you. He'll be with you when you succeed and you make millions. He'll be with you when you lose it all. He'll be with you when you have all your dreams come true. He'll be with you when nothing comes true. He'll be with you when you feel great. He'll be with you when you're depressed, when you're smiling, when you're crying, when you got it, when you miss it, when you lose it, when you gain it. He'll be with you because he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Come on, push down the weird. Push down the weird. Push the weird over. Don't stay behind the weird. Say, God, whatever you want to do, I lose control and I let you have it. Come on, give God a great praise today. Come on, stand to your feet. You at home, stand in your living room and begin to praise the mighty God of heaven. He wants to live in you. He wants to move in you. He wants all of you. Man, I feel Jesus today. How about you? I feel the Holy Spirit in here. I never forget when I was in Harlem, New York, in a great outreach meeting with a great man of God. I was just helping out any way I could. There was a man that would, he was, obviously, he dealt with being crippled. He walked with a massive limp. His legs weren't straight, and he struggled to stand up straight. And every time during praise and worship, he would walk in this tent set 5,000 people, man. We're in the middle of Harlem, and I have so many stories to tell. It was a great time in my life. But this guy would walk around in the fast songs and the slow songs. He could barely do it, but he was trying. He was just walking, and he would walk around. And I remember one night the ushers got upset. They didn't understand him. And the usher said, man, I mean, you go tell him to stop. But I'm not telling him to stop. I just felt like I shouldn't do it. And plus, I didn't want to get beat up. I was in Harlem. Come on, somebody. And then the great man of God, his name is Brother Schambach, and he used to have testimonies for television and great miracles. I saw great things happen, lady healed of AIDS, just so many things amazing. And he was one of the testimonials. He got up there, and I'll never forget, he said, when I was born with cerebral palsy. And he said, I couldn't walk for 16 years. I was bedridden. And he said, God did a miracle for me. And he said, God strengthened my muscles and God strengthened my legs. And his legs, I mean, he could barely do it. I'm not trying to make fun. I'm just saying, even that was a miracle. And he said, every time I walk around this tent, I'm just reminded my God of what he did for me. And I'm reminding the devil what he lost from me. Come on, isn't that powerful? And he just began to worship God. And I learned such a massive lesson. I was so glad I didn't say a word to him. I learned a massive lesson. Never to call someone else's praise weird. Because what's weird to us may be their wonder. Now, here at City, if someone's out of order, if someone's out of line, causing an issue, we'll correct that. We're not here to be out of order. That's not what I'm saying. But please don't look to your neighbor and say, well, they're weird. You don't know what God has done for them. You don't know what the Holy Spirit did for them. And I learned that lesson in the middle of Harlem on that plot of ground surrounded by skyscrapers and ghettos. I saw it and I never will forget it. Don't you call someone else weird when they've been touched by the power of God. And so our job is to let our own spirit be released and say, God, whatever you want to do in me, I release the wonder. I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to hold back. I don't want to let go. I want more of God. Come on. I want more of God in my life. I want God in my life. And you won't make fun of anybody. You say, God, do it in me. God, do it in me. I feel the Holy Spirit on me. Excuse me for crying, but man, I feel God today. Let God move in you and let God show you the wonder of heaven. So bow your head to heaven, bow your heart to heaven in this moment of faith. You would say, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus in my life. I don't have Jesus. I don't have the Holy Spirit in me. I've never done it. Or others of you would say, I've done it, but man, right now I'm so far from God. This fourth Sunday of January, I'm lost and I know it. And I need the living God in me. If you want to receive Jesus today or come back to him right now, raise your hand to heaven in this place. I want to pray for you to receive Christ today. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. God bless you. Good. God bless you. People coming to Jesus. God bless you today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. And how many would say today, Pastor Dave, I want the Holy Spirit. I don't want to live in the weird. I want to live in the wonder of God. I want God to live in me. And if you have Jesus, he does. But then you would say, I want God to move in me. And then I want God to have all of me. It's not in the moment. I believe it takes time. It takes a lifetime. So don't be pressured. It's a long race. It's a marathon. But you would just say, you know what, today I want to start. I want God to move in me this year. I want God to take possession of me this year. I want God to have all of me, one step at a time, one day at a time, one moment at a time. I want God. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven all over this place, you online right now. Thank God all over this place. Thank you so much. Thank you. We want God. We want the Holy Spirit. Follow me in this place and say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong. I turn away from that. I say yes to you. I give you all of me. I lay my life down as an offering to you. Live in me, move into me, and have all of me. I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen. If you believe it, give him one more great praise. I feel him today. He's moving in this place. He's moving. Come down to the front. If you, prayer team, join me here in the front. And the praise team will lead us in this time of worship. And I want to encourage you, if you receive Jesus, come down. There's no strings attached. We're not trying to get something from you. We're just trying to help you move forward. Come down and let us help you. If you have a prayer request today, come down and receive prayer. Great things happen when we pray together. There's communion provided along the outside walls. You can take communion as they sing. You can sit in your seat, but just connect to God. You online, connect to God before we go. I believe God will touch you there. But then after they lead us in a song, they'll dismiss us and we'll have a great week. And I'll see you next Sunday for Super Bowl Sunday. It's going to be hype. You don't want to miss it. May the Lord bless you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May his face be turned toward you, and may he give you peace. And for this message, may all of us see the wonder of God.